want to begin today a series that we're going to be entitling The Journey with God. The Journey with God. And we'll be talking about that and what this means to move forward with God in our individual lives, in our marriages, but even as a church, what it means to move forward with the Lord and what God may be wanting to do in our lives as we move forward with Him. I want to invite you back tonight, if you are able to be here. I want to talk a little bit, and I know this is only my fourth Sunday, so I won't go into deep water, but I want to talk a little bit about vision. And about vision, about as we move forward, things that we want to begin to see happen as a church. I'm not going to freak you out. So I hope you'll come back tonight. But we're going to talk a whole lot about praying. The church needs to be on one page in vision, but it also needs to be on one page in worship. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. I believe with all of my heart, and one of the things that happened down in Florida is that years ago I called our church together that we would center our prayers around some biblical truths for our church, and God used that in a powerful way. I don't understand prayer. All I know is it works, and I want to invite you to be back with us tonight, talk a little bit about vision, but a whole lot about how we can pray together as a church. Got your Bibles open or on your device. I want to talk about let the journey begin today in the book of Genesis. But I want to go back to verse 31 and verse 32. Look at verse 31. Terah took Abram, his son, later known as Abraham, and Lot, the son of Haran, which was Terah's grandson and Abram's nephew, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. I want you to notice this very carefully. We'll come back to it. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, the city of Haran, catch these words here, they settled there. Some of us have settled where we're at. We'll talk a little bit about it in a moment. It says, the days of Terah were 205 years. That's old, isn't it? As a matter of fact, if that crazy aunt in your family, all of you are ready for her to die, she could live long. You know what I'm saying? And so Terah died at 205 years. Chapter 12 and verse 1, several years later, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Let the journey begin. And then God says, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went. He obeyed God as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Never too late to start with God. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and their possessions that they had gathered, and he was a wealthy man, and the people that he had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, at the time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord, and Abram journeyed on still toward Negev. We're going to talk about today that the journey with God has to begin. Now, you may be here and you may not know Jesus, and we're going to invite you to know him today. You may be here and you may know Jesus, but it's time to begin a fresh journey with God, to move forward with him, to see God do some things. That great American philosopher, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, wrote a song in 1993 in which it said these words, "Life is a journey, not a destination. I just can't tell just what tomorrow brings." There's a lot of truth in that. Life is a journey. But you can either journey with God or you can journey without God. Here's the truth. Life is a journey, and God invites us to journey through life with him as our Father and Jesus as our Savior. But God says to us, you may choose not to journey with me, but at the end of your journey, you're going to meet me. And you're going to give an account of why you chose to reject me in the journey of your life. By the grace of God, I have chosen that I want to journey with the Lord. I want to journey with him individually. My prayer is that we as a church would choose to journey with God where God wants to go. Hope you'll grab your bulletin, and your bulletin are the notes and at least the main points. And there's some places there you can make some notes today. Go back with me, if you would, please, in your Bibles to chapter 11 and verse 31 and 32. Let's talk about where the journey began. Where the journey began. Now, before I go any further, we got to ask the question, where does the journey begin with you and I? And the answer is the journey begins by knowing Jesus as Lord and in Savior. If you don't know Jesus today in your heart for certain as your Lord and your Savior, you may say you're on a journey with God, but you're just on a journey. It's not with God. The journey for you and I begins by trusting Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." In my mother's house many years ago in my bedroom as a young man, I got on my knees beside a bed and I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. And I trusted him. And that's when the journey began in my life. If you don't know Jesus today, you can pray and ask Jesus in your heart as your Lord and your Savior and begin the journey. But now go back with me to chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. The journey begins with salvation. But where does the journey begin? But the journey begins also and flourishes through surrender in your life and in my life. It begins in salvation, but for some of us, we've been doing our own thing. God is inviting us to begin to flourish with him as we surrender our lives to him. Look back in chapter 11 and verse 31. All the way back in Ur of the Chaldees, God spoke to Abraham. And the Lord said to him, "I want you to go to the land of Canaan." So he and his dad and his nephew and his wife, they set out. But verse 31 says, they came to Haran, catch this now, and they settled there. They settled there. Stephen said in his great message in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3, that in all the way back in Ur of the Chaldees, God spoke to Abraham. Said to him and his family, "I want you to leave and go to the land of Canaan." But they got to the land of Haran and they settled down. They settled. Didn't go any further with God. Some scholars say that they were there for at least 5 years before God spoke to him again in Genesis 12, verse 1, and beginning that we'll look at in just a moment. So I got to ask you a question. What is your Haran? What is your Haran? Where is it? My phone is playing music. Who did that? That's crazy right there. You may want to listen to this instead of me. But so anyway, I said it right there. And it may have said something you don't want to hear. I don't know. But I got to ask you, what is your Haran? Where is it you're settled at? I mean, you gave your life to Jesus. You were on fire for God, and God was doing some things. But maybe you've come to a place you're just settled. You're just settled. I know churches that are like that. In fact, across this nation, hundreds upon hundreds of churches that are in decline, and they're dying. And they want to know why they're dying, and they want to go back to a former way of things were, and they've settled in, and they're unwilling to change, but they got to understand they're settled in their Haran. I got to ask you something. How's your devotional life with God? How's your walk with the Lord? How's your burden for your lost family members? What's your desire to see God do something in your church? Or have you just settled in? It's my pew. It's my place. It's my church. That's the way it's going to be, and it's not going to change. And God says Abraham was that way, and I had to shake up his life. I have a friend that he and I have been good friends for many, many years. And I told him a while back, I said, hey, bro, leisure suits had been out a long time ago. And so he and I were talking one day, and he went to where I'd been. I was preaching at in a meeting. And he said to me, he said, Brian, you have forgotten how to dress. That's what he said to me, because I'm dressing like I'm dressing. He said, you have forgotten how to dress. And I said to him, no, Mike, you just stuck, bro. I said, if the 80s come back, man, you're ready. You're like, I'm ready. And there's a lot of churches, if the 80s come back, they're ready. But they're not reaching today's generation because they're stuck in their Haran. And God is saying to us today, let the journey begin. Where does the journey begin? At salvation. But the journey begins by recognizing I just might be stuck. I may just have settled in, and I need God to do something in my life. Let's look not only at where the journey began, but look in chapter 12 and verse 1 and what the journey cost. What the journey cost. Jesus said in the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 25 through 23, Jesus said, no man builds a tower without counting the cost. No man goes to battle without counting the cost. And then Jesus says, no one becomes my disciple without counting the cost. Salvation is free, but being used and blessed by God may cost you something. Because when God calls us to follow Him, God didn't say you signed up to negotiate the deal. God says, I'm Lord, you're servant, you're the sinner, I'm the Savior. Surrender to me what the journey may cost. What did it cost Abraham? Same thing it'll cost us. First of all, look at chapter 12 and verse 1 in your Bibles, on your device. First of all, it cost Abraham his comfort zone. His comfort zone. He said, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, where you were raised at, your kindred, and your father's house. That's outside your comfort zone, man. I want you to go from that place. Brian, are you saying God wants me to move out of Jeff Davis County? No, I'm not saying that at all. Not at all. God may have you here for the rest of your life. That's not the point of this. What I am saying to you is when God begins to move in our lives and we surrender to a journey with God, it is going to cost us. It's going to cost our fleshly desires. It may cost us that we got to forgive someone we don't want to forgive. It may cost us in our marriage. We got to make some adjustments. It may cost us in our church. There's some things we got to do a little bit different. Follow with me? Track with me. What I'm saying to you is when God begins to move in our life, the cost is, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Even if it means moving outside of my comfort zone. From the day I said yes to Jesus, I'm not talking about just in salvation, but years ago, my family and I were at Fernandina Beach. For years, when I pastored in Waycross, we always went to Fernandina Beach for at least a week of vacation. My children grew up doing that. And we would go down there. One year we rented a house for 2 weeks, a beach house. Had no air conditioner. Now, that wasn't a God right there, but that's another story. But it had no air conditioner, and we were right there on the beach, and God began to deal with my heart during that week. I've been reading about the great preachers and men and women of God that God used and God blessed, how there came a moment in their life that they began to say, I want my life to count for God. And they began to say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? That was in 1993. And I was sitting on that porch, and every night I'd go out there with a pad and a Bible, and of a morning in my devotion, I would just say to God, what is it you want to do in my life? Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be used by you. And I laid down about 10 goals that I was like, okay, God, if this is what you want, this is what I want for my life. You aim at nothing, you get nothing. So I sat down, I began to lay out some goals before God. I had no idea sitting on that porch when I said to God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. That God would explode my world and constantly move me outside of my comfort zone. What I'm saying to you is, do you want God's best in your marriage, in your home, in your church? Do you want God's best? If you do, you got to be willing to say to God, not my will, but your will be done, even if it makes me uncomfortable. Here's something else about what the journey cost. The journey going with God, our comfort zone. By the way, the comfort zone is going to be different for everyone. Won't be the same for everyone. What is the journey? What is the journey going to cost us? It's going to cost us our comfort, but it's also going to cost us our confidence. Won't you look again, chapter 12 and verse 1. Here's what he says. Now, the Lord said to Abram, he's still in Haran. God stuck there. God loves him enough to challenge him. He said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house, catch this statement, to the land I will show you. That would have freaked me out right there. The land I will show you. In other words, God said, your business is to go with me. My business is to tell you what I have in store. Well, my wife and I, all these years, almost, well, 29 years living in South Florida, we would come up to Alma at least once or twice a year. On vacation, so my wife could visit with her in-laws. I never dreamed I'd be going to Alma on vacation. But anyway, so we come up and we go to Alma and visit with them, and they began a tradition. And I was in it the first time, and they said, let's go to Douglas and eat. And we went to Douglas, and, you know, and he says, I'll buy. And I'm like, okay. And we went to Douglas. It's our favorite place. You can imagine how disappointed I was. We pulled up to Crystal Burger. And I'm like, this trip better be good. And for the next, oh, dear Lord God, hour and a half, 2 hours, eternity, man. We rode all over the place, and he said, we're not going to track where we're going. We're just going to ride. And we'd ride, and that's where the old oak fell in 1943. And I'm thinking to myself, if I can get this white boy's bottom end back to the house, this ain't going to happen again. That's just the truth, man. We came up again for another trip, and they said, we're going to go to Douglas and eat at our favorite restaurant. Well, I already got that part down. It's Crystal Burger. And they said, you know, we don't have any plans. We're just going to ride here and there and look at all of that. And I said to my wife, I want you to go, and I want you to enjoy the journey with your mom and dad, but this old boy not going. I said, I got enough blessings the first time. My point is this. I want to know where I'm going. Anyone else like me? You go somewhere, I want to know where I'm going. My wife says, that's the fun in it. Well, you go have fun, but I'm good right here. I never went again on the trip. But when God says, I want you to follow me, sometimes God says, you don't know what you're going into. You're going to follow me. None of us know what tomorrow holds. Sometimes God, we follow God through cancer. Sometimes we follow God through sickness. Sometimes we follow God through more success than we ever dreamed. Sometimes we follow God through children who stray. God says, you don't know what the journey is ahead, but I promise you if you'll sign up to go with me, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Let's move on. Not only where the journey begins, knowing Jesus, surrender, what the journey may cost, but look with me in verse 2, and then we'll drop down. Well, in verse 2, look with me at what the journey promises. And I'm going to be very brief here. What the journey promises. Now, in these verses, verse 2 and 3, this is what is known as the Abrahamic covenant. Meaning that God said to Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you a great nation, Israel. And part of the promises God gave him is one day Jesus, the Messiah, will come. I will give you great nations and great people, which is you and I, who have come to know Jesus over these years. Abraham didn't understand all that. I am not suggesting God's going to make a covenant with you like that. Our covenant is in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I am going to say what God says in this verse is what God says to you and I. What the journey promises. God says, I promise. Look at this phrase in verse 2. And I will make you. I will make you. What God promises is whatever we were at the beginning of the journey, we will not be at the end of the journey. He will make us. His spiritual growth, his spiritual transformation, God is going to make us. Then God says, not only will I promise you that I will make you, he says further in verse 2, I will bless you. What God says is, if you surrender to me, I will bless you in ways you never dreamed. There's things God has done in my life I would have never dreamed as a boy growing up in Hilliard, Florida. There's things God has led me through and brought me through that I would have never believed in my wildest dreams. This was God's design. I'll be honest with you. I never dreamed in my wildest dreams I'd be back in South Georgia, Pastor. But God says, I will bless you. I will lead you in ways you never dreamed. I'll do things in your life you never expected. That is our God. That's the awesomeness of our God. Third thing God promises, I will make you, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. I want you to notice here something very, very important. God says, I will make you, I will bless you. And that's where a lot of church folks stop at. God, make me, bless me, but it stops right there. I know you're saying, Brian, you're getting ready to talk about money, aren't you? Nope, nope, nope. But if that's what you're thinking, there's offering boxes out in the foyer. No. I will bless you. God did not make you to be a reservoir. He made you to be a river. God blesses us to bless others. God blesses us to touch others' lives, even people we may think do not deserve it. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. God never designed the church to show up on Sunday morning, get blessed, say amen, and go to our homes and never be a blessing to the community around us. God wants us to be reaching out. He wants us to be the church in here, but God is calling us to be the church out there, that we may reach men and women, amen, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, if you're going to clap, clap good, because my ego is fragile. Thank you. Now I'll preach 30 more minutes, but no, I'm kidding. But what the journey promises, God says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you, bride. I want to do things in your life you never dreamed. But don't hoard it to yourself. Be a blessing to others. That means sometimes there's a person with addictions that needs your love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness. That means sometimes there's a person of a different color that needs your love, your grace, your mercy, and they need to know Jesus Christ. That means there's sometimes there's someone that is not in your social atmosphere that needs the love and grace of our God. Let's move on. Not only do we see what the journey promises, but look with me last of all, and we'll bring it to a close, and we're going to pray together. But how must we respond to this journey? How are you to respond today? I know some of you just, you're here and you're like, Brian, I've heard all I want to hear. I'm shutting you out. That's okay. You'll die with the rest of us. We'll put dirt in your face like they will ours. Just keeping it real. Because we'll meet God at the end of the journey. That's just truth for all of us today. By the way, my wife does not like it when I ad-lib and leave the script. But anyway, how must we respond to this? How are you to respond? I'm just going to say to you in love and grace and mercy, I'm here today and I'm trying to share with you the truths of God's blessed and holy word today. But I'm just here to tell you today that when this service is over with, you don't deal with me, you deal with him. So how do you respond to the journey God is calling you and I to? Well, the way Abraham did, first of all, he obeyed. We must obey. Whatever that looks like in your life, it's not going to be the same for you as it is with me. We must obey. Look at verse 4. So Abraham went. Then verse 4 tells us he's 75 years old. And in future messages, we'll see when he's 100 years old and his wife Sarah is 90, they have a baby. When I read that scripture every time, I'm thinking, man, if I was Abraham, I'd be going to the bros and saying, high five me. We're having a baby. Come on, high five me. But my point is that how do we respond to the journey? We must obey. I don't know what God's dealing with you about. Maybe it is someone you need to forgive. Maybe it is something you need to let go of. You've held on it for too many years. Maybe it's addiction no one knows about. Maybe it is the click of a mouse on websites you'd be horrified if your wife or anyone else knew about. Come on. But God is saying to you today that if you want to begin this journey, he's not a God that's going to hate you, kick you out, or push you down. He's going to love you and walk with you, but you and I must say, Lord, by your grace, I obey. And there will be days we'll fail. We all do. But God is a God of grace and mercy. Aren't you glad? But I want to close with this, and I want you to drop down with me to verse 7 and 8. How must we respond to the journey? We must adjust. We must adjust. Look at what the Bible says in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I give this land. I'm going to give this land to your offspring, Israel. And the Bible says so he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. Verse 8. I want you to catch this now. We got to adjust. We all got to adjust with the Lord in whatever it may be in our lives. Verse 8 says, from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel. Pitched tent. Catch this statement here. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Bethel means house of God. Ai, Joshua, Jericho, they would march around those places and they would be destroyed by the invading armies hundreds of years later. But Ai means ruin. It's interesting to me that he pitched his tent that on one side is the house of God and fellowship, and on the other side is Ai, ruin. You do understand that every day of your life and my life, we live in a fallen, broken world. This is not a perfect world. We live in a fallen, broken world. And every day of our lives, we live with the holy tension that I can make a decision today that'll bring me to the house of God, the place of worship and fellowship with God, or I can make some decisions that could ruin my entire life, every day of our lives. Every day, we live in that holy tension. Ma'am, sir, teenager, you're in that place of holy tension, and you have to make adjustments. How did Abraham adjust? I want you to notice what the Bible said. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. But I want you to catch something here. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent. He made firm his altar. In other words, and Abraham was a wealthy man. The Bible doesn't preach against wealth, just preaches about how we use wealth. Abraham was a very wealthy man already. He would become more wealthy as we go through this series. He was a very wealthy man. But with Abraham, all his material possessions he held lightly. But his relationship with God, he held firmly. The adjustments you're going to make and I'm going to make every day of my life is I can go to the place of fellowship, or I can find myself in a place that can ruin my marriage, my walk with God, my fellowship, my joy, my happiness, my effectiveness. But it's going to depend on the decisions I make. Am I going to hold loosely the things of this world, but make firm the things of God? D. James Kennedy, the great Presbyterian preacher in Fort Lauderdale, many years ago, used to play with his church on Wednesdays because they had a huge Wednesday night event. And D. James Kennedy would sometimes tell his staff, we're not going to go in until 15 minutes late. We're going to make them think the rapture's taking place. Then D. James Kennedy once said, but when Jesus comes again, for a lot of God's people, it's not going to be a rapture, it's going to be a rupture. Because they've invested everything they are and they have in this world. They don't hold it loosely, but the things of God they hold very loosely. The journey has to begin today with you and I. And the journey is, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? I'm not even saying you know what it is yet. I'm not even saying you know how God wants to use you or bless you. That is immaterial. But it is willingness to say, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, you know how frail and fallen and broken I am. Will you please take over my life? Forgive me of my sin. Lord, draw me to yourself and make firm today your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. Make firm, but hold loosely the things of this world. Let the journey begin. Are you ready for it to begin? Brian, you said I need to get saved again. No, you gave your life to Jesus once, you're saved. What I'm saying to you is today, God may be calling you to greater, better, more. God may be calling this church to greater, more. Can I just preach a little bit and then I'm going to close? Promise I'll pray. You know what church's problem is across this country? Whether it's Florida, Georgia, Texas, Alabama. Churches see someone else doing something and they think that we need to do that. And they start doing that. Then they see another church doing that. Well, that worked for them. Let's do that. And pretty soon, we're not focused on going with God. We're like a two-headed hound dog. And that dog don't chase a deer. That dog is confused. And God says to us today, maybe as a church, maybe as individuals, we need to be saying, Lord, we want to go with you on this journey. And Lord, we want to go with you and we're going to say to you, hands off, not my will, but your will be done. God, I want to journey with you. I want your best. I want your hand on us. I want you to do something fresh in our lives and in my life. Let's pray together. Jeffrey's